Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another exciting episode of the 16-Bit Assassins podcast. It is I, your host, Toaster. I'm joined by my now blonde co-host, Jen.
Yes, I am blonde.
Who I refer to as...
And pink and purple.
So, yeah,
unicorn.
You earned that Rainbow Bright nickname now.
No, when I actually go rainbow, I will earn that Rainbow Bright because the rainbow is coming. Oh, it's
coming. You do that, we're totally changing your podcast name to Rainbow Bright.
Awesome.
And then probably getting sued by Mattel or Hasbro.
Yeah, well, whatever.
Whoever has that license now. Hey, but anyway, welcome to another exciting episode. It's a Wednesday night. We are live. So if you want to jump in and join us in the chat room, or if you want to give us a call, you can reach us at 646-668-2390. You know, we'd always love to hear what other gamers out there have on their minds. Yeah, today we have a relatively exciting show. I think we're going to probably annoy a few people with one of our topics. Actually, a lot of people. There's a lot of quotes in these notes. People are going to be mad at me. Anyway, we'll start off the show with news I think that both Jen and I are really excited about.
Hesitantly excited. I don't want to get too excited and then just be... I can't deal with that.
The studio's like, bah ha ha, silly mortal, come back down here.
Exactly.
But first, we have to... Let's talk about the elephant in the room. So, I finished God of War. And... It's odd. I mean, I'm still playing it because I got Valkyries to take out now. It was an amazing ending. Like, I mean, awesome. Like, I really, really feel like Kratos grew as a human being. There were some old wounds that were re-explored. Well, anyway, no. Really, why I'm bringing it up is because Jen really, really wanted to know who in the Norse pantheon owed Kratos money so that he went to, like, Norway and just decided to start messing with the Viking gods. Turns out, nobody. Like, it is the just lamest explanation. Like, he basically pulled a Bruce Banner and just wandered off.
I wanted some big, epic, crazy backstory and
yeah,
nothing.
Like, kicked out of Sparta for murdering the entire Greek pantheon. I don't know. No, he just got in a boat and Michael rode his boat ashore all the way to Norway where he, had a kid. And honestly, that kid is badass. Like, when you actually level him up and everything, he's key to beating some of these bosses. Like, he's really, thanks, Atreus. Thanks for not being the worst escort mission ever. Yeah, that's pretty much it. He just didn't want to be in Greece anymore, so took a boat to Norway.
Lame.
Tried to live a quiet life, as most people like that's always the thing too. It's like Viggo Mortensen's character in like that Russian mob movie thing where he's like this dad or just regular cook, and he turns out to be I don't know where I'm going with this conversation, but yeah. I wanted to go to Norway and chop trees, and now you Vikings are messing with me. What the hell? But yeah, so that's it. Nothing amazing. But what is amazing is what hopefully CG, their lesser known, smaller studio. Hopefully CD Projekt. Can you say it, Jen?
You can never say it. It's so funny listening to you try to say it. Try it again. Come on, do it. Try it again.
CD Projekt Red. There we
Woo!
Go.
Woo!
So supposedly, possibly, rumored. I mean, and you know, when they announced this, they did it in such like a "yep, it's us again" type of way. We're going to be showing off an RPG at E3. It's what they said. No specific title. Just we're going to be showing off an RPG. We all know they're not working on a Witcher 4 right now.
Ooh. Sorry. Get really excited about that.
Mm-hmm. We probably won't see a Witcher 4.
No.
Knowing, like, they, Sorry, I just got a pop-up, and my brother is going after a former podcaster we know. Paul. PK.
Oh, yeah.
Craig just, cool story, bro. Him, which is just... Don't take the bait, Greg. Don't take the bait. Anyway, CD Projekt Red said that they're going to be showing off an RPG at E3. Which, come on, guys. We all know it's going to be Cyberpunk 2077. We really hope it's Cyberpunk 2077. Considering it's really the only thing they're working on other than the Gwent card game. There's no other games that are rumored in development right now with them, right?
Yeah, that's it.
Unless they're making, like, Fat Princess 5. I don't know.
Wait, is there a 4?
I don't know.
Oh. I was like, wait. I mean, is there a 2? Like...
I'm continuing the tradition of just random Fat Princess titles.
Okay, well, get me all thinking that there might be other stuff going on here, that's all.
So we know the game's being made for PC, Xbox One, and PS4, obviously. So the PC Master Race is going to be like, I can run it at 120 frames per second. And us console players will be like, yeah, whatever. Why don't you enjoy that $20,000 computer while I sit here with my console and Hot Pockets? That's your thing.
Oh, the Hot Pockets.
Hot Pockets.
I don't even know when the last time I had a Hot Pocket was. I'm thinking years and decades ago.
I think my brain has literally erased that time of my life from memory. As I sit here having to take blood pressure medication. Like my brain. That's why. Here you go. Here you go, steak and cheese Hot Pockets.
And Hot Pockets have gotten weird. I mean, I know this is slightly off topic right now, but they've got like some going on with them lately. All like different, like, they have like gourmet Hot Pockets. And I don't know.
Gourmet Hot Pockets.
Yeah, like.
What, they use less cow ass meat in them? Like, what?
Like, I don't, like, they have like, I don't know, I call them like uppity Hot Pockets. They're just like.
a crusty parsley pastry thing.
Oh,
we have like a whole section of talking about cup of noodles and Hot Pockets coming, so we'll probably get to that in less time than it takes to actually cook a Hot Pocket all the way through.
And how long does it take to cook
Hot Pockets? I don't know. You never
get they have limited edition Hot Pockets.
What?
They have breakfast Hot Pockets. I didn't know that either.
Are you on like Hot Pockets' website right now?
Yes, I went to Hot Pockets' website.
So anyway, back to not Hot Pockets. So CD Projekt Red is going to be showing off, hopefully, Cyberpunk 2077. But one thing that did kind of stand out to me, and I'm a little concerned about this because I'm really horrible at Deus Ex. I haven't gone back to try and play it in a long time. Maybe I will, and maybe I'll find out I got better. I don't know. But according to some recent reports, the game is less RPG and more like a FPS featuring character development. What was referenced was like a Deus Ex type of thing where it's, you know, you level up your guy or girl or android or cyborg or sex bot or whatever you're playing in Cyberpunk 2077. If there's a character editor, how many people you think are going to make Geralt or Ciri? Cyberpunk Geralt, that'd be so weird.
Yeah, it would.
The CEO of CD Projekt Red, Adam Kiznitsky? I don't know. There's keyboard. He went on record saying that the Cyberpunk is a great game, more ambitious than The Witcher 3. And I need to pause right there. The Witcher 3 is huge.
Yeah.
Not only is it huge and engrossing. So it's not like they made it big for just big sake to like, oh, just wander around. No, like everything you do in that game is well written, not boring, and makes for amazing gameplay. And they did this in a huge environment. And then they released DLC that was basically the size of the same game. What are you people planning?
Something we are not prepared for.
Like, seriously, my Steam Witcher 3 game has like 350 hours dumped into it right now. And, like, I finally beat it on console, and I've been running around and doing the, oh, that's a question mark. Let's go see what it is. Which in Skellige sucks, by the way. I hate you, Skellige. You're all your little islands, and yeah.
I agree.
Like
I agree.
Honestly downloaded the Science Channel Go app and just was watching out the videos while I was different islands. But it's like it's treating that moment like when I play World of War. Which, by the way, I have not come back to you all yet because I think I said this episode I was falling through the floor repeatedly.
Mm-hmm.
So, but my old mates are kind of like, oh, here's videos about Assassination Road and Battlefield. It made me go back to normal damage, and I don't like that.
Aww.
I'm going to miss doing like 2 million DPS in a hit. Anyway. The CEO also went on to say that, you know, that they believe they can aim at more ambitious business goals. As of course, still having a gamer-centric focus and quality focus is a main priority. This is something that anytime we bring up CD Projekt Red, I say this, and I don't care how broken record it is. Like, this is the perfect model on how to run things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't hear people all angry because we haven't heard anything too much about Cyberpunk 2077. All you really hear is that, please, sir, can we have some more?
Yeah, exactly. We just want any little tidbit of information.
Exactly. And they take the time to put these games out. And, you know, they support the games and they do cool things like, you know, free little DLC packs that they aren't huge, but to like people who are really, I don't know, into like hair, I guess it makes a difference.
I forgot about that.
But, you know, they take the time to make a game. They make sure the story is a wonderful and is an amazing story. And, I mean, I am saying this playing only, like, The Witcher 2 and The Witcher 3. Jen, you showed me a picture of what Geralt looked like in the first Witcher, and it was, like, this weird...
Yeah. Looking... I've played the first Witcher, like, 4 times, so...
Does it play like the other Witchers, or is, like...
No.
So what is it, like a real-time strategy, or...?
Okay, no, it's not that bad, but, perfect. Like, the combat is different, and it's on PC only. I mean, I don't think you can use a controller. Like,
is it, like, the difference between, like, Mass Effect and Mass Effect 3?
Yes. Yes, similar. Yes.
I might have to... I think I actually have it as part of, like, a...
I was gonna say, like, it's always dirt cheap on Steam.
I think I may have picked it up in the Steam summer sale.
Yeah, you should just play. I mean, you should play it once, or at least start to play it once, just because like you've played it. You played two, right?
Yeah, I did play two.
Okay. Just because you played the other ones, you should play this one too.
I played two on the easiest difficulty too.
Hey, sometimes you gotta.
No.
Didn't you play three on Death March?
No, I'm not that sadistic.
Oh, okay.
I did start playing it on New Game Plus, and I think I put it to hard.
Oh, okay.
Or like the one difficulty below Death March. I don't know. Like lately, I've been challenging myself with games because I think I finally now understand why people play Dark Souls. Like some of these Valkyrie fights in God of War have been, Like, I mean, I never played video games to beat things at the hardest level. I play them to relax. You know, and if it's a game that I know how to play really well, I'll put it up a difficulty notch or something.
I need to interrupt this broadcast because someone just sent me something on Facebook Messenger, and it's called the Twinkle Tush. It's an accessory that hangs from a cat's tail to cover their butthole fashionably.
You've just seen this?
That is what it's like. This is a different one though, and this is how it's that's how it's phrased, to cover their butthole fashionably. Like, this is a sales pitch.
I don't know.
For just $5.99, you can start explaining to concerned strangers that no, your cat most certainly is not wearing a butt plug. It's just a fashionable asshole medallion.
So what happens when the cat has, like, I don't even know.
Exactly.
A place I don't want to go. I mean, I think as a cat owner, you tend to understand that their butthole has touched everything in your house.
True.
You know, they don't curl their tail neatly up to cover their bum hole. It's there. And I think that's enough about cat buttholes.
Yep. On to our regularly scheduled program.
Moving on. But yeah, you know, like, they've been playing their cards really close to their chest. There was the whole, you know, brief controversy about people bashing them on, like, those employee websites and things. But, you know, you don't know what went on. So, yeah. But I'm really excited. Like, honestly, like, I read that and I was like, that might be something I'm the most excited about. Now, should they come out and announce it that it's a exclusive for Xbox, that's how Microsoft gets back in the market.
But I don't see that happening.
Oh, that would be amazing if it did. People would be so mad. And I would have a purpose to keep my Xbox One. Although I joke, because the backwards compatibility thing is really awesome. So, speaking of Microsoft, apparently that little sticker on the console end of the 360 wasn't quite legal. This week, Nintendo, Sony, and Microsoft all got served with letters from the FTC, basically stating that the stickers saying that you, if you break the sticker, you void the warranty, is a violation of the 1975 Magnuson-Moss Warranty Act, which states that no manufacturer charging more than $5 for a product may put repair restrictions on a device it's offering a warranty on. The interesting part of this is the FTC technically does not have the ability to actually enforce that letter. So why send it? But, I mean, I guess in a way it makes sense.
Well, the right to repair is like a big thing. So now you can just fix whatever you want.
Because Microsoft charges you like $250 to do it.
Yeah.
Like, I'll never forget when the Kinect dashboard first came out on the Xbox 360. And it was the 360 that I had had for years that updated just fine, no problems. And the minute this Kinect dashboard revamp thing comes out, my Xbox bricks. Won't load, you know. So I call them up and they're like, yeah, well, you know, it's also out of warranty. You could send it to us, we could fix it, but it'll be $250. And I was like, I can just go buy a new Xbox for that.
Yeah.
You know, I guarantee you there could have been, I mean, well, at that point it didn't matter because it wasn't in warranty anyway. But the fact of the matter is, like, you know, the companies, they charge an arm and a leg to repair. If some dude or some girl in a computer shop can do it for cheaper, why not? You know, if they're trained or something. I don't know. I mean, I think it's going to be, like, this really fine line that they walk, because we all know what that sticker got broken for. I mean, maybe there are some people who are doing it, you know, all on the up and up. But for the most part, it was because we, you know, wanted to play games for free.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I have no idea either.
Nope.
Make stuff
nope.
Up. You know, all lies, slander, fake news. but yeah, I mean, this is like a real, like, you know, A, the FTC can't do anything, and B, like, you do run the risk of, like, well, people, you know, you're having companies basically eat it if somebody breaks their Xbox or their PlayStation, or if something like this were to go into effect, where the FTC could be like, yeah, you know, change it or get in trouble.
Uh-huh.
But really, all I see them is just laughing. Like, no. Go screw. I don't know. I kind of thought I had more to talk about that, but I guess the whole, like, I think Nintendo's big thing is that everything they come out with lately just gets cracked because they can't figure out how to patch software holes, apparently.
Weirdness.
You know, maybe if they came out with a real console, they wouldn't have the problem.
Oh, it's doing well.
It's a glorified 3DS, for Christ's sake.
It doesn't matter. It's still doing well.
Kind of want. only to play Skyrim wherever I go.
Sorry.
Dogmeat shaking his head disapprovingly.
Yeah. Is he? I don't think he can shake his head. I think he just bobbles.
No, he does side to side.
Does he really? Oh.
Oh yeah, I guess if you. I don't know. yeah, you know, I hope that there's some type of compromise in the middle, because, like I said, like, you know, doing repairs and stuff would be cool if it was, you know, inexpensive. And hell, offer training classes to fix consoles.
Yeah.
And now for the moment, Toaster offends the internet. So we can all agree, I think, for the most part, everybody who purchased God of War was very happy with God of War. The game is beautiful. The story is amazing. You know, I made the joke that it basically plays out like a long Stargate SG-1 episode. You know, Christopher Judge's voice acting is amazing. Freya as well. Everybody involved in the whole thing was really awesome. And to everybody who was a voice actor, if you're listening to this podcast, I only recognize Christopher Judge's voice because I am a Stargate SG-1 geek. So that's why it's instantly recognizable. But apparently, as the internet is, there's some people who are not happy with it. There was an article on Mashable, basically, I guess rephrasing the same tired argument that has always been made about the God of War series, is that it's hyper masculine and blah 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 and violent. And let me actually find the article title.
I closed it and don't have a link to it anymore.
This is the awkward part of the podcast. Toaster can't figure out.
Right now, if we were doing this so you could see it, I'd be dancing wildly in the corner to take your attention off of Toaster looking for things. That's what would be happening right now. Just so you know.
So yeah, the article on Mashable. You know, really looking for this article. I can't do two things at once. Maybe if we use the shirts feature of the website.
And this is why we add an extra 15 minutes to the show.
Yeah, so. Oh, okay, so basically the article is, God of War shows how far the video game industry has come and how far it has to go. It's like leading with a compliment and then sliding it back. You guys suck in there. So like the first half of this article like goes on to talk about how great the game is, how they managed to take a character that was really, I don't know how you make him not Kratos, I guess, or not, you know, like, how did, with today's culture and how offended people get, like, how are you going to fit character and some of the things they did in the original games into today's gaming scene? You know, much like when you hear somebody saying, like, oh, we want to reboot Duke Nukem. How's that going to work?
Why would you want to? Like, all everything aside, why would you want to?
I don't know. I mean, John Cena is supposedly cast in the role as Duke Nukem, so.
Yeah, and I reiterate, why?
You know, and I mean, there were some interesting comments from the lead director, who basically equated the original God of War games to, you know, like the college years of somebody growing up. You know, and it does kind of make sense. You know, those games were completely over the top. The violence was beautifully ridiculous. But even with those improvements in the game and trying to tell a story and, you know, trying to get it away from just the hyper-masculinity and overly sexualized, you know, cutscenes and stuff that you had in the original games or the mini-games, you know, sleeping with Aphrodite while two other women just touched themselves in the corner. Like, I mean, the games were fun. You know, and this article, you know, spends the first half of the article just, you know, talking about that improvement. And then next just come, like reading what some of the people that they spoke to about with it for this article had to say about the game. Sir, you're just pissed to be pissed. Like, there's really some of these come across as, like, you just don't get it. Like, one of the things was bringing back Kratos after a decade of being a raging pile of toxic masculinity to start a new journey at the expense of yet another woman shows that the writers and designers making these games aren't actively working to get rid of that hyper-masculinity from games. Dude, you completely missed the point. And you most likely didn't finish the game. Because Kratos' wife is present through the entire game. And the environment that you used to climb to get to, you know, where you're supposed to deliver your wife's ashes with your son, basically, in the game. And that whole end sequence is probably the most powerful sequence of the game because it shows you just how powerful of a human being Kratos' wife was.
Oh, you're so verklempt.
I mean, like, how are you going to bash a game like God of War because of how masculine it is? Have you played any of the other God of War titles?
No.
Like, have you seen what the... I mean, like, seriously? You know, there was another comment in here. They were talking about, like, how Christopher Judge is a black man and, you know, they could have reinvented Kratos as a black guy. And it's like... I don't know. I think if you're a group that is looking for representation in any type of entertainment medium, be it movies, be it comic books, be it video games, you should push for new heroes or new people, new protagonists. Not demand that or feel that an existing protagonist should be changed to fit your narrative. I feel like in a way it's kind of like taking, like sloppy seconds, essentially. If you really, like, and I'm not, people are going to get really upset if anybody listens to this podcast and attack me for, I don't know what, but I feel like if I was part of, like, the gay community or if I was African-American or, you know, part of the trans community, that I wouldn't want, you know, these people that have been around for years to be suddenly retconned to fit my life narrative. I'd want new heroes. I'd want original ideas, you know? I feel like that would be more powerful than, you know, God of War or Kratos suddenly turning into a black guy. Or Luke suddenly becoming gay. Like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Are you silent because you agree with me, or are you silent because you can't believe I'm saying?
No, I'm... I agree with you to a point.
I mean, I get it. There's not a whole lot of representation in the world right now.
Right.
But I really think that would be more of a more powerful statement to rise above just the common pool of entertainment crap we have right now. You know, and create something eye-catching and you know, inspiring to a group of people rather than just using the same old characters and just saying, okay, they're gay now, or, you know, or whatever. But yeah, you know, like, they go on to say, like, you know, dressing the whole thing as a sad dad who needs to bottle up his emotions and treat his child with harshness and distance is just terrible. Like, then why did you buy the game?
I know. Like, I don't think people really went out because they wanted fluffy father figure of Kratos. I don't think that's what people were looking for when they bought the game. Just kind of my thoughts. Maybe.
And the best part is the person that said all this stuff used to work for Rockstar Games. Like, the studio that built its empire on the ability to beat up a hooker and get your money back. And
they've learned their ways.
Interesting crime stories, I guess we'll add that. Although the Red Dead Redemption trailer looked really sweet today. But I don't understand the outrage. And some of these comments really just make me feel that the person involved didn't actually play the game. Or they went to pick the game, or they got the game just to say, oh, I can't believe how violent it is. Man, this is nothing compared to the former games. And yeah, like, short of, I mean, his normal executions are in there, but they're not, they're undead Viking Draugr. It's the same thing what you were killing in Skyrim. Like, the only real bloody battles are the ones where he fights, like, Magni and Modi and Baldur. The Baldur fight's really, it's really messed up. But, you know, like, so one person literally went all to say is violence in games is often the most shallow, uninteresting kind. Physical violence, gore, a man putting a bullet in another man. I'd like to see more games about systemic violence, about structural violence, about struggling against unaffordable health care and gentrification. There's so much more nuance we haven't explored. Like, look, I play video games to relax. I don't play video games to be reminded about how hard life actually is.
And you know what? That's fine and dandy if you want to make a game like that. Like, there are plenty of, you know, narrative games and stuff like that. But, like, people wanted another God of War. Like,
the best part of the article, too, is they say at one point that it's unclear of Kratos' race.
Oh, Jesus.
He's Greek.
Yeah.
The original games literally take place in Greece. He takes on the Greek pantheon. He's from Sparta.
Should we keep going?
Greece.
Oh.
He's not a white dude. That's made pretty clear. He gets turned into the ghost of Sparta because he gets doused with the ashes of his wife and his son, for Christ. The guy had a hard life. Back off. The sad thing is it's on both sides, too, because there's probably, like, fanboys out there that are bashing it. Well, there are no boobs in this game. I'm sorry that you need to get your jollies off of a video game. But, it's comments like, we need games about gentrification and unaffordable health. Like you said, I mean, there's probably somewhere, somebody out there that would love that game.
Yep.
Because gaming takes all kinds. You know, gaming can be used to help you through things like, you know, that Dragon Cancer, or, you know, what Zoe Quinn's been doing with her games. You know, other games, mindless and just whatever. But it's just, like
I don't even know what that noise just was.
Reading some of these comments, it's just, you know, and I think the director of Harlog, you know, said it's a weird thing I'm experiencing now, in the sense that there's this resistance of people who love what we do, games they love to consume games, but they also have some weird judgment that games shouldn't be allowed to insert whatever they want. Anybody who participates in this medium should never think like that. It's not something that has limiters on it. That should approach everything with respect, with a sense of earnestness and a true sort of understanding of happening in the weight of it. These people are making this article are BS, and they take away from the movements that these people are talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I don't know. Like, I really was disheartened when I read this article, for the fact of, like, it literally seemed to be reactionary.
You know? A lot of things that, like, nowadays are. I mean, I don't know. I feel like that's just another topic. Like, just being reactionary for reactionary sake, I feel like that's a topic for another day and not when we have like 6 minutes left of the show.
I think it really just comes down to is like people just need to stop bashing other people's stuff. You know, like if something offends you, that's fine. Don't go buy the game. If you want to make games about gentrification and expensive healthcare, by all means, make those games. But don't for one second judge the studio that did a really good job of making a flagship character of theirs relevant again. You know, or if you're going to try to bash a game, at least play the full game so you get the whole scope of the character progress and the story arc before you're immediately like, oh, they wrote off his wife and blah, 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 blah. No, they didn't. Like I said, she plays a huge role in the game, and you don't realize that until the end. And it's a very dusty moment. I'm not crying. You're not crying. Speaking of which, I would like to point out the new Avengers superhero vacuum cleaner.
That was harsh.
You know, it was that even harsher when somebody was like, if you really think about it, Spider-Man had the worst scene because he realized it was happening before it started happening.
Yeah.
It makes sense. It's like, oh, so speaking, or I wish to stop using speaking of as a segue. I guess in the vein of misguided articles, the New York Times published an interesting article about esports and
Hot Pockets.
Hot Pockets. Titled, All We Want to Do Is Eat Junk Food and Watch Other People Play Fortnite. All right, Fortnite's fun. It is. It's not the first, like, watching, like, people watch League of Legends, people watch Dota, people watch Overwatch.
People watch a lot of things.
I think it's hilarious when, like, newspaper or, like, magazine publications, like, who covering gaming is not, like, their first thing, is always like, oh, this is the next big thing. No, there's a lot of other things out there. Like, I have a pretty diverse audience. There's a lot of people playing a lot of different games. This was the article I was discussing, how, like, esports has taken over and, like, it's basically the new, I guess, Hollywood is the line this guy's trying to make.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But, you know, my focus isn't really on that. It's why shitty food companies want to keep sponsoring gamers. Like, Hot Pockets, for Christ's sakes. Who did a Hot Pocket and was like, that's healthy? Nope.
Yeah.
And you honestly cannot play video games and eat shit like Hot Pockets and Cup of Noodles. But here they are, sponsoring things. The disconnect that some of these people who are trying to get involved in the esports scene have with the esports audience and the video game playing demographic as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us can drink now. right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like when you're reading this article and it's like, they wanted a bark. I was like, oh, I thought most of them were 13 years old. No, you idiot.
Yeah. Know your demographic. It's a key to a lot of things.
You know, it was inevitable. Movie theater attendance is at a 25-year low, while 638,000 people tuned in to watch Drake play Fortnite recently. All right, let's compare those two things. One is a $50 trip by yourself. Right? Movie ticket, a little popcorn.
Yeah.
The other is a simple, tune into YouTube or Twitch and watch Drake play a video game. And of course, I mean, let's just talk about how many fans Drake actually has. A lot. Sells records. A lot of them, apparently. So, like, you know, I'm just reading comments about they want a grocery store, and apparently, like, starting to sell an e-audience. I think it's hilarious how publications are still looking at gaming as like a stupid hobby versus something that has a massive fan base, passionate fan base as well. You know, I know so many people who, the minute they hear me say something about a video game, they like kind of stick their head around and go, oh, what do you know about this? What do you know about this? You know, my boss at my 8 hours of required adulting a day, he's a big Sniper Elite fan. You know, I told him he got a war. But, you know, it's huge, and it's not just on consoles. You have mobile gaming, PC gaming, and stuff like that. And I think people need a hobby anymore. It's a lifestyle. It's a pastime. It's not a dumb hobby anymore. And it shouldn't be, you know, definitely not. And I think that the ratings in some of the, why did you buy it? You know, I think people need to realize that gamers have grown up for the most part.
To a point.
Balls and farts are still funny.
Oh, Jesus. No, they're not.
Wow.
That was perfect timing. Wow.
That's going to do it for tonight's episode. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at 16-Bit Assassins. Like us on Facebook, the 16-Bit Assassins. Make sure to tune in next Wednesday. And remember, you can always call in live and chat with us.
Because next Wednesday, Toaster's going to be solo, possibly.
Oh, yeah.
I won't be here for the next 2 weeks is kind of the thing.
It begins Gen tryouts.
Yes.
Either that or me talking to myself.
Yep.
Hanging out.
I will be eating lots of pasta in Rome.
And hanging out with supernatural people.
Of course.
Because, yeah. Elsewhere.
That's my convention for the month. My May convention will be there.
We're going to start adding segments to the show, like Jen's convention of the month.
Well, I have one every month, so it's true. Accurate.
Very, very true. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to the 16-Bit Assassin podcast. Great night, and we'll talk to you next Wednesday.
Bye.